You're listening to Beyond the Chart, where we go off the record with Baton Rouge General's medical elite. I'm your host, Brogan Taj. Let's get charting.
Welcome back to Beyond the Chart. I'm your host, Brogan, and I'm back with another special edition episode. I have one of the sweetest ladies you'll ever meet on the podcast today. Shawn Lacey Ward is a mother, a friend, and a survivor, and she's here to tell her emotional and hopeful story.
All righty. Hi, Shawn. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning.
Awesome. Well, tell me a little bit more about yourself. Where did you grow up?
My name is Shawn Ward. I grew up in Baton Rouge, and we moved away some years ago to Detroit. I came back in 1980, something around that, during that time, to go to school, and got married my first husband, and I just remained here from that time. Missed family, mm-hmm. and was glad to be back home. So,
tell me more about your family.
I'm a mother of four.
Ooh,
okay. I have four sons. I have
four boys. That's a lot.
Yes. I just recently had a new grandbaby.
Congratulations.
So I have an addition. So now I have five grandkids. I have three grandsons and two granddaughters.
Yay. So you finally got some girls.
Finally got some girls and beautiful daughter-in-laws. So I want to give a shout out to them. Yeah. Thank you, moms, Raisin and Blair.
Yeah. Are you close with all your sons?
I am very close with all of my sons, especially my oldest one. You know, you don't have picks and chooses, but they're all really, we're really close-knit.
Is he the one who has the same name as you?
Yes, that's the one who has the same name.
Tell me more about that. That's so interesting. What makes, normally, like, you know, a husband passes down the name and it's the second.
I
kind of love it, honestly.
People ask me that all the time, and I don't know, I just thought, to be different, because you, like you said, mm-hmm. normally men pass down that generation name to their sons, and I say, how cool would that be, since I have a universal name, to pass that down to my son, have a son named after his mom, and actually, my first grandson is also named Shawn.
Oh, no, I love that. Do y'all all just go by Shawn?
Yes, we all go by Shawn.
Does it get confusing at all?
When we're all together in the room, we have to kind of like, we'll say Shawn 1, 2, 3, or Mama Shawn. And then they'll tease, they'll say Big Little Shawn. Like, I'm big, little, small in stature. So I love it.
Oh, that's so great. I love that. And what does your son do? What does Shawn do?
Shawn is a world-renowned violinist.
Okay, and because y'all took a picture together on the for our billboards.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So I guess we'll kind of jump into the reason we're here today, to what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Which is cancer. You're a survivor. Do you want to kind of take us through your journey? When did you get diagnosed?
I got diagnosed in April of 2009.
Okay.
And what actually took me to that person, I was married at the time. You know how couples, you play around, you fondle, you know, and have fun with each other. And so my husband noticed a nodule on my breast area. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you need to get that checked. It doesn't feel right. You know, you kind of take things lightly because mm-hmm. I was always a goer.
Yeah.
I was constantly moving, constantly doing things. And so I can never sit still. And so I took his advice, and I went to the doctor, and I had it checked out because after he noticed it, mm-hmm. I started having some little minor signals that was giving me some.
Yeah, tell us more about those, because I feel like that's the number one thing people ask is, like, how did you know?
Exactly. Well, once he noticed it and he made me aware of it, I started noticing it's just like when you have a cycle, mm-hmm. and you know how your breast area gets real, real tender.
Yeah.
And you start feeling some things in your body. Well, it felt like that, even though at that particular time, I knew I had no cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just didn't feel right. And so I took his advice. I went to the doctor. And my doctor, they did the little examination. She sent me to a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I want to have him take a look at it because it could be possibly be something. And then it may not. And so she sent me to the specialist, and so I had the specialist take a look at it, and he wanted to do a surgery, a little minor surgery, to see if it was malignant or benign. And so he scheduled me for surgery. I went to the doctor. That was on a Wednesday or Thursday. I was scheduled for surgery that Monday morning of that following week. And so they went in, they took some, some tissue from it to sample it and whatever, and said he told me to go home. He said, I'll give you a call back once we know the results. Okay, this was on a Monday that I had the surgery. That Friday, I think I had to go to the doctor prior to that just to get a checkup. And so on my way home, leaving the doctor's office, the doctor called. My husband was driving. And we were on our way back home, and he said, Miss Ward, are you sitting down? Just like that. And I kind of...
You knew.
Yeah. I felt within me that there was something wrong. And so he gave me the news. He said, well, did you come back malignant? And so we want to schedule you for your first biopsy, just like that. And I was like, okay. So they scheduled it, I think, 2 weeks out after that I had the surgery. And they removed all of my lymph nodes on the left side. They were able to remove the tumor. And prior to that, we went for consultation. And so after I had the surgery, we had to have consultation for my treatments because he did tell me that I would have to have like 6 months of treatments. Wow. And so I had two different types of chemos that I had to take in the four-hour segment each time I went for treatment. And so when I did, during the consultation, they told me what to expect. They told me what was going to happen to my body and kind of, you know, gave me and my family some preparations that we needed to do. So, you know, once these things take place, we would know, you know, what's going on at that particular time. And so when we had the consultation, they did tell me, he said that, you know, there's a possibility that it can come back, but it never comes back. In the same place, okay? So I was like, okay, well, good. They got it all. I thought I was out of the woods. So I went for my treatments. I had the 6 months of treatment. I lost my hair, all of my hair. And that sent me to
that
a whole nother, yeah. And, you know, normally when you see that, you think that's the end. And so my kids, I never forget them coming home from school. Sean was the oldest, so he was kind of driving.
Yeah.
The other boys were still kind of young. And so when they came home, I had them all sitting in the living room, and I kind of, you know, had my hair covered up at the my head covered up at the time, and I took the scar off, and I tried to calm them because I was freaking out. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that they were okay. And I said, well, this is what they told me would happen, that I would lose my hair, but it doesn't mean that I'm going anywhere right now, because they didn't know what to expect. They were really scared. And so as time went on, I got the dosages, and I still started feeling kind of weak. And at that particular time, I didn't know about a support group of survivor for women. And so each time that I would go to the doctor, my oncologist, Dr. Brian Vienvenu, I thank God for him every single day. He would tell me all the time, because I had this prayer partner, this church member of mine, would kind of go out and shop for me for little cute things to wear and, you know, hair pieces, you know, just to make me feel normal again. And I appreciate that. And so as I was going to my appointments, I'd never forget one day my oncologist telling me, we're going in to get, you know, get my regular checkups after my chemo and stuff. He said, you look amazing. Aww. He said, you don't look like somebody that is going through chemo that has just had a mere scare with being diagnosed with cancer. And he put me in a fashion show.
Oh, wow.
And so he put me in the fashion show. The lady called me, and she told me where to come to for fitting and everything. And, I mean, that just gave me
a confidence boost.
It gave me a confidence boost, exactly. And so after I finished my treatments and everything, a year later, this was like 2011, I had another scare. Same breast, same side.
Okay, it was in the same place?
It was in the same exact place.
Wow.
And I'm thinking within myself, well, I was told that it can never come back in the same place. But, you know, things happen for a reason, I do believe. And so I guess that's why God allowed it, because he let me know, you know, this may be a testimony that can help somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so they checked it out. I went in and I had the procedure done, the same thing that I had the mm-hmm. first time. And thank God when they did sample the tissues, it was just scar tissue, so it was benign. And I was like, Yay. Oh, my God, thank you, God. And so that's I was just elated. Mm-hmm. And so after that, then I started having my radiation treatment.
Yeah.
And after that, finally after my last dose of radiation, I was able to go and ring the bell mm-hmm. with victory. And I met some amazing ladies. Feeling? It felt like running a marathon, and even though it takes you a little time to run to get to the finish line, you finally get there. And so it's all worth the while of running the race,
yeah.
knowing that you're finally going to get to the finish line. And so I've been now almost 14 years.
Cancer-free.
Cancer-free.
That's amazing. And so you still go back and you're checking every year.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
I want to go back to something you were kind of touching on in there about you set your boys down and you were talking to them. Like,
yes.
What's your advice to other parents who are going through this, like going through the worst part of their life, like having to talk to their children, tell them, like, do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, and I get a little emotional every time I talk about it, because I think about, you know, that's with any parent that love and, you know, nurture their kids. You don't want them, you try to keep them out of harm's mm-hmm. way and away from things that could bring harm to them. So I'll never forget sitting down with them, and they had this confused look,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, Mom, we know you're telling us this, but we're seeing evidence of other things, mm-hmm. because, you know, you see on televisions where people mm-hmm. have lost their fight, first thing to go is all yeah. their hair, and, you know, that's sort of like the end. And so with telling them this, my advice to parents is, don't try to keep secrets like that from mm-hmm. your kids. It's best to get everything out in the open, be truthful, be honest as mm-hmm. possible, to get that support, because we never know how strong our kids may be until they have things mm-hmm. To face that adversity. And I never forget Sean, during this whole episode, during the time, he had a best friend that he's really friends with. His mom was going through the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but she actually lost her battle.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so he was able to give some comfort
mm-hmm.
with, you know, because they had something to share
yeah.
at that particular time. And so it kind of helped him to get through the tough moments
mm-hmm.
for what he had gone through, even though his mom had lost her fight. You know, with being knowing that Sean was going through the same thing, he didn't know what the outcome may be.
Yeah.
But just having somebody that can relate and not say, oh, I understand what you're going through, when you really don't. But he actually had confidant that he can rely on that had the same similar situation going on with his mm-hmm. mom. And so I'm grateful for that. But I'll tell anybody, just be open and honest with your kids, you
mm-hmm.
know. My biggest support group was my kids. Mm. They were rallied around me, even though they were not able to go to my treatments
yeah.
a lot of times because they was in school. But Sean was there with every treatment that I had. He, my husband, and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My mom actually came down and stayed with me because all my family lives in Detroit.
Yeah.
And so she came down, and during the whole duration, she stayed with me to help me through my fight, to help, mm-hmm. you know, with my kids
yeah.
and stuff. And so I tell anybody, that was my biggest support. That was my reason for surviving,
mm-hmm.
was my kids.
Absolutely.
So,
oh, that's so sweet. Now tell me, did you have any family history of breast cancer or any type of cancers or anything?
At that particular time, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I found out, that was the first question that I asked. I went to my mom and said, was there anyone in our family history that you know of that's ever passed from mm-hmm. breast cancer? And she told me no one in that side of the family. And in my dad's side of the family, I only knew a limited amount of family members on that side. And I asked my closest aunts that I knew of, and they stated that there was no one in that side of the family. So I guess when I did research the history as far as I could research
yeah.
it for, there was no one to be found that had battled with
yeah.
the this type of terminal illness before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at it, I was the first one
yeah,
in my family.
Scary.
I was like, wow.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So what stage of breast cancer did you have?
They were able to catch it in the beginning.
Okay, that's good.
So that was the great thing about it. But prior going back to that, before my husband noticed anything, like I say, you know, you could kind of feel changes with mm-hmm. your body, but you don't know exactly mm-hmm. what it was. It started off as a little pin, like a little pin-sized okay. knot. And I guess over time, I want to say in the matter of 3 or 4 months,
okay,
it had grown to like a quarter size.
Okay.
And so they were able to catch it in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was grateful for that. And so.
So he caught it. What did it feel like? Any pain or anything?
No? Actually, no. There was okay. no pain. It was just like a little hard okay. knot. Like as if, you know, something was there, okay. but it was, you press on it, it was just like firm, okay. really firm. And so there was no pain. The only pain that I think I felt was like noticing the tenderness.
Okay.
During a certain time of the month. Yeah, yeah. Like as if I was having a cycle or something. And so that was the only thing that that was noticeable.
Yeah, because I know that's what people want to know is yeah. like, how do I catch it? How, you know?
No pain. Okay. It was just feeling that not there.
Okay. And it was definitely like a different hardness than you would normally feel.
A different okay. hardness there. And especially on the breast area, because you would notice because all this yeah. mostly soft tissue. Okay. And so by that being hard, it seemed abnormal. Okay. So, yes.
All right. So that's what you're supposed to be looking for to anybody who's listening.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk about like during your chemo and radiation. I know you had your family was your biggest support and stuff. How did you keep yourself busy? Like, what was your mindset?
Prayer. Because even after my first dosage, I felt fine. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I could get through this. But as time went on and things started to change my body mm-hmm. From the chemo, because it did cause a lot of nerve damage, which I still suffer with from time to time with mm-hmm. the tingling and numbness in my fingertips and legs and things like that. I think the thing that kept me motivated was, like I say, my children, thinking about what would happen mm-hmm. to them if I was to leave this earth that early. I wouldn't have been able to see my son get married, mm-hmm. which he was due to get married the following year. Oh. And so not being able to shop for my own personal gown for his wedding. But I will say this, he has the best mother-in-law ever, because as a matter of fact, she and the boss that she worked for mm-hmm. went out. They went shopping for me and they had me look, oh my God, amazing. And so to me, that was the best feeling, to be able to walk down the aisle.
Yeah. It's okay. You can get emotional.
The day my son got married. That year later, because I was still going through my chemo treatments. So to me, that was the most amazing thing, to be able to experience that mm-hmm. and still be here.
And look at you now. You're still here. You got grandbabies.
And I'm still here.
Yeah.
14 years later.
That's amazing.
So I'm grateful. I'm really grateful.
Is grateful the word you would use to describe your cancer journey overall?
Yes. Grateful and blessed. Mm-hmm. Because it could have went another way. But mm-hmm. I'm still here. I'm able to tell somebody else that even in the fight, remain hopeful. Remain positive. Think about the memories that you can create once you get past the episode mm-hmm. that you have to go through. And so I say, just stay focused. Mm-hmm. Stay focused and stay with a positive mindset. It'll get you through a lot. And that was how I was able to mm-hmm. go through my chemo, go through the radiation. And even though I had some bad moments from time to time, I still remain positive. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, like, you mentioned, like, you're always dressed cute. Yes. Do you think that helped your positive mindset?
Yes, it did. I think looking your best feeling your best mm-hmm. helps you to maintain a sense of the word you use, confidence. Mm-hmm. And with that confidence, it can take you through whatever it is you're going through. So, yes, that absolutely did help me look at my best and not looking like what I was going through. So, yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's such a beautiful story.
Thank you
for sharing all that with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, do you want to jump in? I have one more little segment. Okay. Do you want to jump into something a little lighter?
Sure.
Okay. So this is, we do a little rapid fire segment, and it's just like quick questions.
Okay.
Do you prefer salty or sweet foods?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
Yes.
Okay. What's your like go-to dessert?
Ice cream.
I love ice cream too. I love it. If money is no object, what concert are you sitting front row for? And you can't say your son's a concert he's doing.
Because I was going to say Sean Moore.
No, I mean, I'm sure you sit front row for that all the time.
Yes. God bless her. For when she was living with Whitney Houston.
Stunning. Love that answer. How did you celebrate once you were cancer-free and you rang that bell? Like, what'd you go do? How did you celebrate?
I think we went to dinner to celebrate. After I rang the bell, I was just so excited to get be past that episode. We just went out. We went hung out. We went and ate. Mm-hmm. And we just had fun that day.
Yeah.
Just
being with the people you
yes.
love.
Yes.
Awesome. Are you a dog person or a cat person?
I'm a dog person. I have two dogs.
Oh, what are their names? What are they?
My first one is named Prince and the other one is named Max.
Oh, cute. I love that. Are you reading any books right now?
I am reading a book on good leadership.
Okay.
Yes.
She's learning.
Yes.
I love that. Do you have any books you would recommend to our audience?
How to be more productive in society.
Okay.
The one that I'm reading now, like I said, good leadership is a really good one.
Your favorite restaurant in Baton Rouge?
My favorite restaurant is Olive Garden.
That's funny. I love that. My last question is, do you have any other advice for anybody going through a cancer diagnosis right now?
Follow the doctor's orders.
Okay.
Take the medicine that they recommend. I say eat healthy. Listen to your body. Mm-hmm. It tells you what's going on. And, you know, pay attention to those side effects. You know, things that you have going on that you feel that mm-hmm. might have a concern about. And always, always go to the doctor on your regular visits. Mm-hmm. Please go to the doctor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say wait. I wouldn't say take it by chance. Mm-hmm. Go to the doctor. Keep your regular visits, you know.
Get your mammogram.
Get your mammograms.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. You were lovely. You. Loved it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.